Welcome to CPAC Today in Politics. Coming up, top Facebook executives ignore subpoenas as an international committee continues to meet in Ottawa.
Each time we do get together, the companies give us a brilliant advert for why regulation based in law is necessary rather than doing it themselves. So if we're making progress on anything, it's actually persuading people that the companies cannot be trusted to regulate themselves.
Canada is moving ahead with the ratification of the new North American trade deal, but it won't happen quickly.
That's something, you know, that will take some careful watching and some, you know, attention to detail, because the ratification processes in all three countries are so different.
And the opposition demands more answers over why Unifor was included on a panel that will decide funding for the media.
For the Prime Minister to stand there and tell somebody who grew up in Cape Breton and is a product of a coal mining family that she hates labor is absolutely disgusting.
It's Wednesday, May 29th. I'm Mark Sutcliffe. Let's get right to the top political stories this morning. I'm joined by HuffPost Canada's Ottawa Bureau Chief and the host of the follow-up podcast, Althea Raj. Good morning, Althea.
Good morning, Mark.
So not surprisingly, Mark Zuckerberg and Sheryl Sandberg, the senior executives at Facebook, did not show up on Parliament Hill yesterday to appear before this international committee. I don't think anybody was shocked by that, but the committee continues its work nonetheless. And this is, I think, a lot of people feel important work. Where do you see it going from here?
Well, the committee is meeting again today. They're going to hear from Amazon and Microsoft, at least they're scheduled to hear from some of the other players in the industry. And what's clear from yesterday's meeting, and they held a press conference, the MPs from different parliaments around the world, is that they plan to continue working together. And now that they have Facebook, for example, admitting that they are taking responsibility for what happens on their platform, MPs suggested the social media giant needs to move towards taking liability for what actually happens on the social media platform. So they are united in working in a desire to work together to solve this problem. And they think, obviously, that together they carry more weight than individually. And so there is more work to be done from a parliamentarian standpoint, and obviously from the citizenry who uses social media quite actively. I mean, Canada is among the highest, if not the highest, users of social media, you know, everybody has an interest in making sure that the information that one gets is accurate. And that is the goal that these parliamentarians want to see.
All right. Let's turn to free trade with the United States and Mexico and whatever the deal is being called now. It's the NAFTA 2.0 or the USMCA or the CUSMC. The government is moving forward on the ratification process, but not quickly, because the Prime Minister and Chrystia Freeland have made it clear they don't want to move any faster than the United States on this. Mike Pence, the U.S. Vice President, is scheduled to be in Ottawa tomorrow. So is the government going to deliberately move in step with the United States, since it needs to wait and see what Congress does there?
Well, actually, that is what the Prime Minister said earlier this week, that basically the King government wants to work in tandem with the United States, but that he does see Ottawa moving quickly. The NDP wants the Canadian government to kind of put the brakes on this whole thing and not push it forward and wait and see if the Democrats and Congress make any changes to the pact. And obviously, if Canada moves faster than whatever the Democrats do, then there's an incentive to not change anything south of the border, which is obviously what Mike Pence and the White House would like to see. Yesterday, in question period, actually, the Prime Minister was asked this very question, and he sidestepped the issue. So that's not something that the Liberals say they're interested in. I'm not sure if that's going to hurt them with all the labor front, but the unions have been quite active in their praise, in part because I think the Liberals smartly brought them to the table in terms of the negotiations. But the, you know, people like Unifor, for example, are on the record saying that they think this is a great deal and Canada should sign it. So It's not too surprising that Ottawa doesn't want to, you know, rush this forward, but also doesn't want to completely put the brakes on it to give the Democrats a leg up. And we will see if that means that parliamentarians get called back to the House of Commons in July.
Yeah, that would be interesting, especially in an election year. Now, you mentioned Unifor. They were also the subject of other questions during question period yesterday about this panel that the government would be putting together to decide which media companies get funding and which don't. And there still is a lot of controversy over the choice of this union, which obviously has expressed strong political views in the past.
I mean, quite frankly, Unifor sent out a tweet calling itself the resistance against the conservatives, specifically saying, pledging perhaps, to be Andrew Scheer's worst nightmare. So it's not surprising that the conservatives are asking questions about why a labor group that is, in the words of the Tories, but I think it's fact, anti-conservative, is sitting on a panel to select basically the people who would select what the criteria and the rules are for who would get access to these government subsidies, bailout, whatever you want to call it, this $595 million pot of money that's going to be divvied up in different ways. But, you know, what constitutes a news organization and who should be allowed to have money to fulfill the stated goals of this plan, which is to have an active and thriving independent press. In the House of Commons on Tuesday, you had Lisa Raitt was in the House because Andrew Scheer was not in the Commons, and she led off question period asking about why Unifor was part of this panel, and suggesting that the Liberals were basically trying to rig the next election. And Candace Bergen and Mark Strahl and others made the same claim, suggesting that the Liberals are basically out to change the rules of the game to benefit themselves. The Prime Minister did not respond directly to that, saying that the Liberals believe in an independent press and they wanted to have an employee presence on that panel because they have an employer, several actually, perhaps one could say, employer presence on the panel. And Unifor is the largest private sector union and represents about 13,000 working journalists. But then in the same vein, you know, the next question is the NDP's question about NAFTA that we just discussed. And the Prime Minister stands up and, like, without a hint of irony, he says, he quotes Jerry Dias, the national president of Unifor, in defending the government's NAFTA legislation. So kind of leading credence, if you want, to the conservatives' own argument.
Yeah, interesting. All right. You mentioned Andrew Scheer wasn't in question period yesterday, but he was making more announcements about conservative policy in this election year. He was talking about a number of different things, including clamping down on border security, about religion, and also saying there was no room for bigots in the Conservative Party. What do you think of what he's been saying lately about policy? He clearly is trying to get out in front of some of the obvious areas where the Conservatives might be criticized and attacked by the Liberals in the federal election campaign.
Yeah, I think the problem with Andrew Scheer is that a lot of people don't know who he is. And while the Conservative Party as a whole polls, you know, around the 30% mark with its own supporters, that the brand basically carries a leader. And here they want to try to put some depth and try to define who Andrew Scheer is. And one way that they've tried to paint the Prime Minister is that he is weak and superficial, and he's all about image rather than substantive issues. And so here, this is a way through these five speeches that they're trying to show that Andrew Scheer is a man of substance. We heard him talk about the economy. We heard him talk about foreign affairs. This was a speech about immigration. And one of the big knocks, to your point on Andrew Scheer, was this winter, I guess one would say, that presence at the rally on Parliament Hill, where there were some yellow vesters, and after Mr. Scheer had spoken, Faith Goldie, a white nationalist, addressed the same crowd, not from the same stage, and Mr. Scheer was not there, but the Liberals were suggesting that Mr. Scheer had not done enough to kind of create space between him and the organizers of this rally, of the yellow vesters, and of the people that Ms. Goldie was speaking to. And so in this speech, he made it very clear that there is no place for extremism in the Conservative Party. And he talked about, he used very interesting language. He said, "I believe that we are all children of God and that there is no inferiority amongst human beings." And that's not language that you normally hear. He was there to talk about what the conservative government would do differently about immigration, talking about closing the loophole in the Safe Third Country Agreement, for example, the loophole that has allowed so many people to come from the United States and kind of go around the immigration system in making a claim for refugee status. And he didn't make that promise, and he did talk about what the conservatives would do differently, that they would promote private sponsorship, because we do know, even looking at the government's own numbers, that refugees who come through the private sponsorship stream actually fare better than people who come in as government-sponsored refugees. So he didn't make those claims, but the fact that he took the time to say there's no place for extremism in the Conservative Party, and that we're basically all cut from the same cloth, and everybody who disagrees with what I'm saying, here's the door, you're not welcome here, that was pretty strong language.
Althea, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Mark.
That's Althea Raj, HuffPost Canada's Ottawa Bureau Chief.
Even the most optimistic projections don't have the Liberals balancing the budget for 20 years, meaning the Liberals would add to the debt every year for the next two decades. But if Canadians elect a Conservative government this fall, we will balance the budget in a quarter of that time.
Now, here's what political columnists and commentators are writing about today. In the Toronto Star, Heather Schofield argues Andrew Scheer is eyeing the path of least disruption. Schofield writes, "A cynic would say a modern-day populist embraces disruption for disruption's sake. It's a way to keep anti-establishment supporters motivated and everyone else constantly off-kilter. But when it comes to Andrew Scheer, not so much. He knew there was no way he could show on paper that he could eliminate the deficit in 2 years without also showing that he would dramatically cut government programs. That would have been the disruptive path to take." In the National Post, John Robson argues, Scheer has chosen a weird moment to go soft. Robson writes, "On foreign policy, Scheer grunts and growls, but has no plan to reinvigorate the military. On economics, he's for supply management and against balanced budgets. Scheer supposedly admires Margaret Thatcher, who said standing in the middle of the road is very dangerous. You get knocked down by the traffic from both sides. So with more traffic on the right for the first time since Reagan's day, Scheer picks this moment to run the wrong way in that lane." In the Globe and Mail, Lawrence Martin argues, Justin Trudeau had better play nice when Mike Pence comes to Ottawa. Martin writes, "A hard-boned conservative, Pence lacks the power that previous vice presidents such as Joe Biden, Dick Cheney, and Al Gore enjoyed, but he is a devoted acolyte of the president and a key connection for him to the religious right and to big money men in the party. Donald Trump values him highly. A good reason that he will receive, despite being Mike Pence, a positive reception in Ottawa." Now let's look at what's coming up on Canada's political agenda. The International Grand Committee continues its hearings on Parliament Hill today after yesterday's no-show by Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg. CPAC's Martin Stringer has more on what to watch for.
Mark, the International Grand Committee continues its hearings today from 8:30 in the morning until 11:30. It'll hear from more spokespersons from the digital giants, including Amazon, Microsoft, and Apple. The committee is made up of legislators from a host of countries, including England, Ireland, Germany, Argentina, and Mexico, just to name a few. They're all joined in one common goal: to try to work towards a system where the digital giants will better protect users' personal data, ensure greater transparency, and protect people from hate speech, violent extremism, and fake news, especially during election cycles. Now, on the first day of the hearings on Monday, the committee heard from a series of experts and former employees within the digital industry who had pretty dire predictions about the growing power, profit motives, and unscrupulous nature of the company's business plans. So, Mark, it will be an interesting committee to continue to watch as fellow legislators from around the world have gathered here in Ottawa for their hearings.
Thanks, Martin. Also today, the Prime Minister will attend the Liberal caucus meeting and attend question period as well, followed by a meeting with Manitoba Premier Brian Pallister. This evening, the Prime Minister will take part in an armchair discussion at the opening ceremony of the Open Government Partnership Global Summit. Environment Minister Catherine McKenna will make an announcement related to the Ottawa River watershed. Treasury Board President Joyce Murray will speak with the media in Ottawa ahead of the meeting of the OGP Ministerial Steering Committee. Minister of Innovation Navdeep Bains will be in Ottawa to attend CANSEC 2019. Canadian Heritage Minister Pablo Rodriguez will attend an event in Ottawa to showcase the programming for Canada Day. In Toronto, Minister of Public Services Carla Qualtrough will make an announcement about accessibility. Employment Minister Patty Haidu will make an announcement in Goodwood, Nova Scotia. Indigenous Services Minister Seamus O'Regan will be at Grassy Narrows First Nation, Ontario, to sign a memorandum of agreement with regard to the long-term health needs of the community. Natural Resources Minister Amarjeet Sohi will host the 10th Clean Energy Ministerial and the 4th Mission Innovation Ministerial in Vancouver. Minister of Border Security Bill Blair will appear before the Senate Committee on Social Affairs, Science and Technology, and Governor General Julie Payette will preside over the Governor General's Innovation Awards ceremony at Rideau Hall. And that's CPAC Today in Politics for Wednesday, May 29th. Tune into Primetime Politics tonight on CPAC for coverage of all the day's events. Our podcast returns tomorrow morning. Have a great day.